right, everybody. This is a special episode of The Comic Source. I don't even know when or where I'll put it out, especially since it's talking about movies, which normally I don't waste my time talking about on the show. Not that the comic book movies aren't great, but there's about 1,000 podcasts out there talking about comic book movies. But Nick, who used to spend time reading comics and come on the show to talk about them. But
I still read comics.
Is now too busy talking about movies on his own podcast. We'll give him a chance to plug that later. But he's too busy talking about movies on the podcast to come and talk about comics. But, you know, we started talking about an interesting topic, something I've been thinking about a lot lately, which is, would the comics industry be better off had comics movies not blown up and become the center of pop culture?
Okay.
And then, you know, that started us down the path. Can open worms everywhere. So my contention is, yeah, the comic industry would be better off without all these eyes that have been brought onto it by these comic book movies. I'm not talking about how well-known the characters are. I'm not talking about being able to watch great movies. None of that. I'm just talking about the industry of making and selling comic books. Would it be better off without all this money made by these comic book movies and the worldwide recognition, billion-dollar box office, Black Panther and Captain Marvel and whatever? Would the comics industry be better off? I think yes, it would.
How would it be better off?
Because there's so much money now. Decisions are being made that are not in the best interest of making good comics. The decisions are being made in the interest of having the next billion-dollar movie.
I agree, but I still feel like there are more comic book readers, not a lot, but people like me and my best friend who only read comics because we enjoyed the films.
Okay, and I will guarantee you that there are probably an equal number of people who have quit reading comics because they don't feel included anymore. It's become, you know, there are people out there that are contrarian, right? They don't want what's popular, you know? So if something becomes popular, nah, I don't want to do it. Everybody's doing that. So it's been shown, like, look at the numbers for the Black
Panther. The hipster technique.
Yeah, the hipster technique. Look at the numbers for the Black Panther comic the month before Black Panther movie came out. It was 23,000 units sold. The month that the movie came out was 22,000 units sold. So it went down. The month after the movie came out, 21,000 units sold. So the movie, this billion-dollar movie that all these people went and saw and loved, it didn't make a difference at all in terms of readers of comics. I'm not saying it's zero. I'm not saying that you know, there aren't people that discover these characters, go see the movies, fall in love with the characters, and then become comic readers. I'm not saying it's zero. But if you want to talk about statistically significant numbers, no. It's been proven time and time again. It happened with Iron Man. It happened with Black Panther. It happened with Wonder Woman. It's happening right now with Captain Marvel. These movies don't move the needle when it comes to people reading the comics. It's that simple.
Well, in a way, I agree. I mean, Captain Marvel was the best-selling comic of January 2019, I believe. I don't have the statistics in front of me.
No, it was not. Captain Marvel number one was not.
It wasn't Captain Marvel number one in January 2019, was it?
Yeah, there was a new Captain Marvel that just came out.
I thought that was number one issue. I only read it in one place. I'm no expert like you, but I thought that was the best selling. DC is mostly the best selling, like top 10, but I thought Captain Marvel was the number one in January.
Let me
double check that. I could be wrong. I just, you know, I follow the mainstream news that supports movies more than comics, but
yeah. So Captain Marvel was number two,
which is pretty impressive. It's a big rise above what that comic would have been.
Not really. No, not really.
Captain Marvel wouldn't be top 10 before the movie.
A Captain Marvel number one. Yes, it would be number one. It would be a Captain Marvel number one would be in the top 10.
Not number two, though. We know number ones, and as far as Marvel, mean nothing because Marvel's always relaunching titles with number ones for no reason, and then keeping that legacy number two.
Right. And you know what number three is? Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy number one. So, and you know what number four is? Conan the Barbarian number one, also from Marvel.
Which I am fascinated with. I want to read.
Okay, so my point is Marvel goes to this well where they create number ones and...
Which is stupid, as we both agree.
Right, and so people pick them up, they buy them, and whatever. So this Captain Marvel number one being the number two best-selling book in January has nothing to do with the movie and has everything to do with the fact that it's a number one from Marvel.
No, I mean, when else would Captain Marvel be in the top 10? She's not traditionally a popular... I mean, she's a great character. She's traditionally a top 10 character.
When the Captain Marvel, just about any Marvel number one, when it debuts, will be close to a top 10.
Yeah, but Captain Marvel is kind of working against that. As we've seen with the movies, through comicdom and filmdom, there's a certain amount of sexism, or I don't want to say that, toxic fandom who doesn't want to see the female character be the most powerful character in the universe, as is the case with the film Captain Marvel.
But Captain Marvel has a dedicated fan base that was established when Kelly Sue DeConnick took her from being Miss Marvel to becoming Captain Marvel. She has a built-in fan base, hardcore fan base called the Carol Corps, that are always going to support her books. And they are a large enough fan base that anytime she has a number one, when you add in that hardcore fan base that always buys Captain Marvel, plus the cachet that a number one still carries, she's going to be in the top 10.
How often has she been in the top 10 in the past? Just as a curiosity point. Because, yes, I've heard about this author and how she has redefined Captain Marvel for the modern age, and the movie is mostly based on her material.
Okay, so what you're asking is, were previous Captain Marvel number ones in the top 10?
By her. Or even just any Captain Marvel by her, however, like volume one, okay. Further, farther, faster, which they use as the tagline for the new film. Like, how was that ranked?
So this latest Captain Marvel that just came out, it was not by Kelly Sue DeConnick. She hasn't written the character in like 5 years.
But the movie's mostly based on her material. In fact, the comic Further, Farther, Faster, which is volume one of her book, I believe.
I wouldn't say it's based on anything she wrote, because she didn't write the origin of Carol Danvers.
No, but they've also... The movie origin is far different than the comic origin. It kind of combines her origin with the original origin of the explosion, you know, causing her to get the... It's not an exact adaptation, where it's kind of the explosion gives her superpowers, not through a Kree, but she gets the Kree blood.
It's nowhere close.
It's a mix, isn't it? Carol Danvers gets her powers from an explosion with Mar-Vell.
And then
this one is she gets the powers through an explosion with the device, and then a Kree gives her Kree blood after that to keep her alive. And keep her in check.
No.
That's the movie version.
But
I think it steals from both.
No, it does not steal from Kelly Sue DeConnick. Kelly Sue DeConnick...
It's a combination of hers and the earlier Captain Marvel / Miss Marvel of Carol Danvers.
No. Kelly Sue DeConnick took Miss Marvel and did promote her to Captain Marvel. In that way, the movie is... about Captain Marvel, about Carol Danvers being Captain Marvel. The origin stuff, completely throw that out. Doesn't have anything to do with Kelly Sue. Kelly Sue didn't do any of the origin stuff. Not to mention, recently, the Life of Captain Marvel book completely changed the origin, which I thought they had done because they were going to change the origin in the movie. So they just recently changed the origin in the comics, and then the movie comes out 3-4 months later and sticks with the original origin.
The most recent Life of Captain Marvel origin?
The Life of Captain Marvel origin, which...
I'd love to read that book.
So Life of Captain Marvel number one, which came out in June of last year, was number 12. Mm-hmm. It wasn't in the top 10. It was number 12, but it was also announced as a miniseries, so I'm sure that had something to do with why the numbers weren't as great. But in the Life of Captain Marvel, it's revealed. Spoilers, if you want to read Life of Captain Marvel someday, it's revealed that Carol Danvers' mother was actually a Kree in spy, I guess you'd say, and had come
to kind of like Mar-Vell. Captain Marvel movie spoilers.
No, not like Mar-Vell was the one thing.
Well, this is the new version of Mar-Vell, which is almost her mother. Not her literal mother, but like her.
I would say a
mentor, mother figure.
I would say a mentor. She was
mentor, absolutely.
Mentor, yeah, but completely different because the whole scientist aspect of it was completely different. And there go my dumbass dogs.
Just fuck them.
No thanks. But people are saying, okay, this is Kelly Sue DeConnick's Captain Marvel. I will say that in the tone of it, like the kind of the girls can do anything, take no prisoner kind of thing. Girls aren't lesser. Talk about toxic fandom. There's been theories on why this happened. You know, some things that Brie Larson said, or maybe the fact that Kevin Feige's come out and said Captain Marvel's the most powerful character in the MCU, and guys don't want to admit that because they want it to be a dude, Hulk or Thor or whoever. Whatever. I could care less about that. But in terms of like the tone that they're going for, 100% based on Kelly Sue DeConnick. But when you talk about any of the story beats that are in it, absolutely nothing from Kelly Sue DeConnick's run is really drawn upon in this film.
Well, it's more like the heart of it. Like, I know you haven't seen many of the more recent MCU movies, but like Winter Soldier is not Winter Soldier the comic. It's a spiritual successor to it. Same with Civil War. Civil War does not compare to the comics in any way. It just keeps the overall message of do we sign, do we not sign up with the government?
Brother. So I'm going back and looking at different Captain Marvel number ones to see. Here's a good example from 2016. Let's see how much it sold. So your argument is that this latest Captain Marvel would not have been a number one in the top 10 if it wasn't for the movie.
The anticipation for the movie, yes.
You might be right about that, actually. I may have to eat my words.
Because, I mean, when Marvel's announcing a movie, they push the comic harder. And it gets a little, even if it doesn't stand later, like you say, it gets a little bit of an uptick because everyone's like, huh, maybe I should check out this. Not everyone. A few people are like, huh, maybe I should check out this book. And then, like most movie fans, they then just disregard the book. Because I agree there's a big disconnect between movie fans and comic fans, as in more movie fans should be supporting their local comic book shop.
Why is that coming? Okay.
But most movie fans are like, I'll take the movie and forget the source material. And it's like, no. Support your comic authors and artists. Support your comic book shop. Like, all right. Pay some respect to what came before what you're watching.
Okay, so we're looking at March 2016 was the last new number one for Captain Marvel for an ongoing title. And that was the one by writer, Margaret Stoll. And it was not in the top 10. I don't even see it in the top 20.
Because the fact that the movie gives it a little push, even if it doesn't last.
No, why is that? No, that's number 3. That doesn't make any sense. All right, hold on. Let's go back a couple months. Number 3 came in at 70, if you're curious. So maybe it was April? No, why does it keep opening? Okay, it says March 2016, so I went to March 2016, and it said it was only number 3, which doesn't make sense. Yeah, number 3. Okay, so let's go to January of 2016, and we'll see. It's not in the top 5. It was number 24.
In January 2016. The last number one?
The last number one.
When they did the all new, all different Marvel.
One, yeah, could have been, or it might have been the Marvel
Now. The whole legacy garbage.
Might have been the Marvel Now. I don't know. But anyway.
No, 2016 would have been like, yeah, the legacy period, I think.
Yeah, that's possible. But yeah, you're right. So I stand corrected. The movie did probably boost this latest Captain Marvel number one up into the top 10. You're right. But let's hold on. Let's check out. But does it really matter where it is in terms of the ranking? Or does it matter how many units that it sold? Right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Does that mean the overall comic sales have been down when you say that? Or...
Yeah, so...
Shouldn't the ranking... Yeah, I mean, overall comic sales have been down, right. Obviously.
So, Captain Marvel number one, Margaret Stoll, 2016, 52,973 copies. So we'll say 50. We'll say 53,000 copies.
Okay.
All right, now let's see. If we look at January of this year, let's see where... See how many copies, because that's really what that's comparing apples to apples now.
Yeah.
Because again, number two, best-selling comic, which is cool. You know, that's something to brag about. It's funny. When you click on the comic, it takes you to eBay's listings for it. 111,391 copies. So yeah, that's pretty significant.
And again, like we said, it gives it a boost, but it won't last.
Yeah,
because no one will see the movie and then buy the comic.
Let's look at February. Let's look when you don't have the cachet of a number one. It's not in the top 10.
No. I mean, we both agree with that the movie audience is not transferring over to the comic audience, which is disappointing.
All right, let's see if I can find it. It's not in the top 20. At least I didn't see it.
Because this is something I've posted about on LRM a lot of times, both on the website and our Twitter page, is that support your comic book shops, support your favorite authors and artists. If you see a movie, go buy the book. Just try it. It's not expensive to get one book a month if you like Captain Marvel.
Yeah, they only have the top 25 listed here, and I don't
see it. January would have been at the height of the trailer and the marketing push.
Yeah, the numbers for February may not be out yet. That might be why. They may not have the final numbers, but they don't have them on this site. They only have the top 25, and it's not there. So back to the original question, though. So yeah, probably more people did pick up Captain Marvel number one than they would have otherwise. But you could also look at it like, well, maybe how many of those people, how many of that 111 were people buying it on speculation? Like, oh, let me pick it up because the movie's coming out. It's going to be hot.
I mean, no, exactly. I think that is part of it.
There's no way to know. But again, to get back to my original question, is the comic industry better off? And I would say that the negatives far outweigh the positives. The positives obviously being, what does the comic industry need more than anything else right now? More readers. And there are more readers coming in. It's not zero. There are more readers coming in to read comics because they've discovered them from the movies, and there's probably more people that are coming into comics because of movies than there are people leaving because of movies, because as we said, I'm sure that's a thing also. I didn't like the movie, ruin it, they're changing stuff, they're pandering to the you know, wide scale audience by changing stuff around. I've been reading comics for 40 years and they don't care about what I think, I quit. I'm sure there's some of that going on.
Sure.
But back to my original point, the amount of money that's being made by these movies means that, because again, DC and Marvel they're not their own companies anymore. DC is now owned by AT&T, and it's been nothing but bad decision after bad decision since AT&T took over.
Agreed.
Disney has, you know, for, I don't know, maybe the last 20 years, longer than that even, really. Ever since Little Mermaid, I feel like ever since Little Mermaid kind of blew up, maybe even a little before that, like the Bob Iger era, that's when they really started mm-hmm. leaning into their, like, corporate America, wholesome image, you know, they bought ABC, and in my mind, and I understand they want to project a wholesome image, a family image and everything, but when you do that, when you limit your audience, when you limit your creativity in a way, because that's how I look at it. Like, no, we can't do that because that'll alienate middle America. That'll alienate the conservative audience. When you do that, mm-hmm. in my mind, that's censorship. And it's totally 100% Disney's call, because these are their properties, and if they don't want to release properties that they feel aren't true to their brand, then 100% no problem, right? But the problem is when you start buying up other companies like Lucasfilm and like mm-hmm. Marvel, and then mm-hmm. because of your brand, because of the Disney brand, you've brought these other properties under the umbrella of the Disney brand, and you start making decisions that aren't true to those properties, you know, maybe you don't go so far as to call it censorship, because they're not even allowing the creators to go there. It just wouldn't be allowed. So it might not be censorship, but it certainly is stifling creativity. And
well,
I will say that Disney's not as bad as AT&T seems to be.
AT&T/ Warner.
Yeah,
Time Warner.
Yeah, yeah. They're killing projects left and right because they think it won't sell.
Like Justice League Dark.
Yeah, like Justice League Dark. The whole Black Label line, pretty much. So
are those comics dying, or they're just not making movies out of them? Because I love the Black Label comics.
They have just disappeared. They're all
really. Even they're not even doing the Three Jokers as a Black Label comic anymore.
Last I heard, Three Jokers is still being worked on. But I don't know if it's still going to be Black Label.
And I've enjoyed, what is it, Batman Damned? So I've loved the first two issues.
So Batman Damned, the third issue, maybe is coming out. We don't know. But what we do know is the Last Night on Earth, which is supposedly Snyder and Capullo's like final Batman story, is mm-hmm. no longer going to be in that Black Label format. They're just releasing it as a regular comic. So it's not going to be in that larger format with the nice paper and the thicker cardstock cover.
I love those books.
Yeah, and everything else is just the other history of the DC Universe got pulled. No mention of it. And none of the rest of the stuff has been solicited, so...
I feel like Disney is more hands-off, for the most part. Especially with the comics, but even with... The Netflix Disney series are all mature rated, and Netflix is the one who canceled those. Like, Punisher Season 2 is one of my favorite Marvel series or movies, because it's so violent and over the top, and it fits Punisher to a T. And while they're releasing Disney Plus, which will only account for family-friendly stuff like the Loki TV show, the Scarlet Witch and Vision TV show, the Hawkeye and Falcon TV show. Hulu, which will be owned 90% by Disney, has just announced 4 animated R-rated shows, including Howard the Duck by Kevin Smith and MODOK by Patton Oswalt. And there's a hope that Punisher and Daredevil will get picked up by Hulu. Hulu.
How did Disney get Hulu? Was Hulu part of Fox?
Well, because Hulu is owned 50% by Disney, 40% by Fox, and 10% by Comcast. Disney is hoping to buy out Comcast, and they've already bought Fox.
Right.
So they could own 100% of Hulu. And Hulu is where they said, well, they will stick the R-rated shows, while Disney Plus will be family-friendly, PG-13 and below content.
Man, too many streaming services. There's too many streaming services.
I'll pay for all of them, as long as they have Marvel shows. I won't pay for DCU, but I'll pay for Marvel shows.
You're going to end up with the whole thing of cutting the cord and it being cheaper is going to go away, because you're going to have Netflix and Amazon and Hulu, mm-hmm. and Showtime and HBO. And what am I forgetting? CBS All Access.
DCU has their own. Disney. Right now, Disney. Which might become a WB thing, which makes more sense, where it's WB programs and DC programs, not just DC programs.
Yeah.
Like, let's say a Conjuring series or a Mad Max series in addition to Titan or Doom Patrol.
Yeah, I haven't watched. I have DCU. I have watched any of those shows, which is, I'm sure.
How do you have it and not watch them? I don't have it, but I would love to watch them.
Yeah, well, I don't have time to watch a lot of TV, as you know. But anyway, getting back to the original question, we keep straying off the topic.
Sorry.
I think that I think the comics would be better off if there weren't all these corporate eyes on them saying, you can't do that, you can't do that. It's going to hurt the brand. It's going to, you know, it's going to turn people off. They're not going to want to go see the movie. I really think that.
I don't know if Disney is interfering in that way, but I do understand that the movies are influencing the comics.
Okay.
We've discussed gems versus stones as far as Infinity.
Yeah, but that's pedantics, and it probably in the long run doesn't make a difference. But when you want to talk about how it hurts Marvel, there was no Fantastic Four comic for quite a while.
They killed that and X-Men for a while, yes.
And why was that? Because they didn't have the film rights.
But now they do, so they're back. I agree that was a weak point in their history. But I feel like Disney, Marvel's coming along to be like, oh, we can do all these things now, whether or not we own them. We deserve to have a Fantastic Four comic and some X-Men comics.
Yes, but the question I'm asking is if the comic industry would be better off today if when Iron Man came out, you know, 10 years ago,
yeah,
if it didn't 11. Blow up. Would the comic industry be better? Would the comic industry have been better off for the last 10 years if comics didn't become the mainstream of pop culture?
I don't think so. I think less people will read the comics.
In other media. And I'm saying that they would, because again, you never would have had Fantastic Four canceled. You never would have had X-Men. You wouldn't have had all that Inhumans crap trying to take over for X-Men.
But no one would have bought an Avengers comic with Thanos until Thanos showed up in, not no one, but general audiences wouldn't have bought
Nick, the same.
I think it was called Avengers Assemble. Was that the name of the book they launched for a while, which had Thanos as a center, until they saw Thanos at the end of Avengers. And they're like, oh shit, who's this new character? I need to see more about this character. I'd never heard of him until the movie. I thought he was a Skrull at the end because of his scrotum chin.
Okay. Again, when you look at the sales numbers from before all these movies,
yeah,
while all these movies have been released, and now after a lot of these movies have been released, 10 years down the road, the sales numbers for comics have not changed significantly in this era. So,
don't you think they would have dropped more without the movie audience?
No.
Joining in a little bit? Like me, my friend Andrew, only read the comics because, yeah, we love the Dark Knight trilogy. We love the MCU, so we picked up a bunch of DC and Marvel comics that we never would have read before those films.
Again, I don't think it's statistically significant, and you also have to factor in the people that left. And again, it's probably a small number, like I said, the people that left because of things like, oh, they're Infinity Stones now instead of Infinity Gems. Oh, they changed all the Avengers costumes to look like they do in the movie. I don't like that. I love the classic stuff that I grew up with that I remember. And you also have to factor in, and there's, again, I know there's no way to know what the numbers would be like. You never would have had Fantastic Four canceled. You never would have had the
X-Men
take a back seat. How many people do you think left because the only comic I read was Fantastic Four? Or I'm mad that there's not a Fantastic Four. Or I'm going to quit reading Justice League because the movie sucks. It had to have happened. So again, yes, there has been a gain when you talk about people discovering the characters through the movies. I agree. There's probably thousands. But when you talk about statistically significant over the last 10 years, I don't think all these movies have made a difference.
But in the case of Justice League, let's say, do you really think the movie affected the comics that much? Because no. They're so different from each other.
I don't think it
movie is terrible, but why would it have someone who liked reading the comics quit the series, especially with talent like Scott Snyder currently working on the comics.
I don't know. I'm just saying it's possible.
It is possible. And the same thing with, I agree, like the costume changes, the stones, the gem changes could affect it. But I feel like it's brought in, and there's definitely that influence. Like I've been reading, I'm a few months behind, but I've been reading current Avengers where Coulson is putting together his own team and he references the Captain America cards he had with, that is a direct plot point to the first Avengers. But I don't see why that would turn anyone off to it. Except for Coulson, obviously, is a movie character first and the comic character second.
Well, again, there's no way to really know because, you know, we're talking about alternate history here. But it might be that if comics wasn't at the center of pop culture, there might have been people that found their way to comics anyway. But now maybe aren't going to try to.
I just feel like with comics mostly being... When I was a kid, I could buy comics at the grocery store. I don't know if you still can.
Cannot.
But like nowadays, you have to go into a comic book shop, it feels like. Or, you know, like a Barnes & Noble to get a graphic novel. And I think most people who are driven to start that, it's like, oh, I saw Winter Soldier the movie. Let me pick up Winter Soldier the graphic novel.
But the numbers are showing that that's not happening, not at a statistically
significant. But I think that is part of publication overall, and that we're seeing the decline of sales of all types of publication, not especially comics, actually, because not because the movies exist, but because people care less because they're dumb.
Okay.
Like people are stupid for not embracing these great art form.
But again, we're talking about, has there been more negative come out because of these movies, or has there been more positive? So I mean, what positives do you see other than, yes, I grant you, there are people out there that exist that are only reading comics right now because they went to see a movie based on a comic book that they
liked. Yes.
That is a positive. Is it a net positive? That's a different conversation.
I think it is net positive personally because of my personal experience. It's like I couldn't name Iron Man, Captain America, or Thor before the Avengers movies.
Besides that, because again, I don't think it's net
positive. I wouldn't have picked up a comic before those.
Okay, so we'll put that in the pro column. We'll put that in the yes. Comic movies have brought some new comic readers into comic shops.
Because I'm a huge comic fan now.
So I will agree with you. I will give you that point. What other positives have come out of these comic book movies for the comic book industry?
Oh, I just think maybe some people have left because of it. But part of it is that it is... I hate to say this because I love the comics. That is old media, and the movies are new media. And the fact that like Stan Lee's creations are being exposed to more people than ever imagined before.
But my argument to that is, who cares? If they're not picking up the comics, then the number of people that know who Ant-Man is as a positive for the comic industry,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. Who cares? Like, yes, it was Stan Lee a great creator? I would say that him and his collaborators, because again, he co-created almost all these characters, and Stan Lee gets probably more credit than he deserves because he was the face of Marvel. But
he's the face of Marvel, exactly.
Yes. And so there were, you know, many, many co-creators who aren't getting the credit they probably deserve. But I agree with you. There are more people worldwide that know these characters now. But to me, that's not a positive. It's not a negative for the comic industry, but it's not a positive either. Because again, if they're not picking up, just because they know the characters, that's great. But if they're not picking up the comics and reading them, then that doesn't matter as far as being a positive for the comic industry. So again, I ask you, what other positive aspects, what other positive results, what other positive consequences, however you want to label it, what other positives are there because of the fact that comics are now at the center of pop culture? TV movies.
I think a small part of this is that comics would go out of business quicker if Warner Brothers and Disney didn't have deep pockets from the films to fund the comics.
I would
talk because about this amazing. Marvel is owned by Disney. Disney makes a lot of money off the movies, so Disney can afford to invest more money in Marvel, who can invest more money in their comics.
Except Marvel pay rates have not increased over the they haven't increased at all. They haven't gone down, but they haven't increased at all in terms of page rates over the last
not year. Pay rates, but like there are so many titles out. Like there's a Shatterstar comic right now because of Deadpool 2, which wouldn't have existed before as far as a miniseries.
Maybe not.
It would have in the past, but it only exists now because of Deadpool 2.
Okay, so you, but what you
have Domino is the same. There's only a Domino comic because Deadpool 2 came out.
That's not true at all. I think there'd be a Domino comic anyway, but again.
Not currently. I mean, there's been one on all these series come and go as far as lesser characters that aren't Captain America, Wolverine, X-Men. But some characters get boosted up because they're in the film. And then Marvel Comics is like, oh, let's focus on Domino or Shatterstar or Thanos.
You want to talk to a comic retailers, they will tell you that that is a negative. Having more stuff on the shelf where they spend their money, they buy these comics, people go see the movie, they don't come in, and then they've just wasted their money. They just had the Comics Pro meeting last month in South Carolina. And the number one complaint from retailers is there's too much content coming out, especially from Marvel. So you're telling me that you think a positive is that they have Shatterstar series and Domino series and all these other comics, and Marvel's putting out 100 books a month. And what I'm telling you is from a comic industry perspective, that is a negative. It is a negative that Marvel is flooding the market. Too many variants, too many titles. They don't announce whether they're ongoing or not, because pretty much at this point, everything at Marvel's a limited series. But they don't call it a limited series because then they know the sales numbers will be even worse. So if you think that because of these movies, they're putting out more titles and more diverse characters are getting a chance to have their own title, then that's actually a negative.
Well, even if they're short runs, I just feel like it offers a better opportunity for people to get to know some of these characters, even if they don't watch the movies, to be like, oh,
you're right.
I would read a Domino character outside of X-Force.
You're right, except for the fact that nobody's buying them. No, I mean, I'm talking these things are selling in the single digits. Not they can't even sell a single. Some of them, people don't even the retailers don't even order them because they will not sell a single copy. They will not sell a single copy of Shatterstar.
So, I think this is based solely on outlook, and you know, I don't have any knowledge of the numbers. I'm just a movie/comic fan. I don't think comic book stores will exist as long as they would have without the movies.
No, again,
I already they're closing down Mile High comic shops left and right. I think they would have already been gone if it weren't for like the Avengers.
Again, I look at it in terms of sales. That's all I have to go on is the number. You're saying you don't know the numbers. I'm saying I do know the numbers. And these movies do not get people into the comic shops.
Well, what are the numbers versus the digital comic numbers? I hate digital comics personally.
No, the digital comic numbers because they're not. It's like they're like Netflix numbers. We don't know.
Yes. Like Comixology or Marvel Unlimited.
We don't know. They don't announce those numbers.
But those are probably selling better than the books. And that's why I would argue with anyone who sees the movies, go buy a physical book. Don't hop on Comixology. Don't hop on Marvel Unlimited. Buy some fucking books, man.
That
like
again,
if you're going to see a movie, support the people who created this stuff. Support the physical word.
Again, I agree with you, but back to the original question, would comics be better off without being at the center of pop culture? And I got to say, I think so, yes, because other than, yes, it's brought in some readers, there's no other positive that I can think of that has specifically helped the comic industry, with the exception of one other thing that I can think about, one other positive aspect, which there's no way to really quantify this or measure it, but there may be some people writing comics right now, good comic stories, that would not be if it wasn't for this explosion of comics into other media. We have more people who got their start in television or screenwriting that are crossing over. Maybe even some people that were, you know, working in the prose world, writing novels and short stories, that are more aware of comics as a storytelling device because of these movies. So there's a lot of writers that do multiple. You know, somebody like a Brian Edward Hill who writes for the Teen Titans, DC,
love him,
and also writes comics. Eric Heiser, who you know, Academy Award, did Arrival win the Academy Award for best screenplay?
It was at least won one of them, not necessarily best picture, but yeah.
But anyway, Eric Heiser, he did an incredible job on Secret Weapons over at Valiant, so I would say that's a positive as well. But then when you start talking about negatives, I think the list gets long in a hurry, and some of it's kind of nitpicky. I just tell you how much I love living right next to a really busy street.
Yeah, it sounds like you live next to a fire station.
God, it's so annoying. Ever since I moved into this house, the traffic constantly, I hate it. Anyway, I think the negatives pile up in a hurry when you start talking about changes to characters, changes to stories. And I'm not talking about making changes so that you can tell fit a story in a 2-hour movie. That's fine. That's a different version.
Yeah, that's different.
But when you're taking changes that were made so it would fit in a movie, and then you're retrofitting them back into the comics, that's where I have a problem. Even something at changing the name of Infinity Gems to Infinity Stones, changing costumes, things like that. I don't like it. I don't like it.
But has it turned? I know what you think has turned. hasn't turned you personally away from the comics, has it? I'm sure it has some people.
There are some comics that I don't read because I know this sounds so petty, but yeah,
it makes sense.
They change the costumes to match what they look like in the movie, and I'm like, I don't want to read it because it doesn't. To me, the look of a character, look of a superhero, is so integral to who they are.
The new Captain America costume, which is more helmet than cowl.
Yep. Captain America.
Does that turn you away?
Yeah. Hawkeye, same thing. Don't like it.
Well, Hawkeye still has like the purple sunglasses or whatever.
No, look at the old Hawkeye costume. Look at what he wears now.
I know. It's way more ridiculous. Or even Scarlet Witch is a great example of a costume change.
Yep. Not even close. So again, it's just, it's turned me off. It has.
Have you dropped any of the books because of the movies?
Yeah, I quit reading Avengers, and I quit reading Captain, and I quit reading. There was something else.
Avengers has been so good since Legacy somehow. Oh my God, it's been so great recently. I've always loved it, but it's been so good after Legacy.
Yeah, so the most recent Avengers title, like I read the Avengers No Surrender, and I liked that.
Yep, it was just great.
Yeah, the most recent one. That's being written by Jason Aaron. I didn't pick that one up at all. I never started because of the Ed McGuinness art.
You didn't like the art. I'm a few weeks behind like always. I love the current Avengers storyline with the dead Celestial gave all of them their powers and stuff.
I specifically didn't pick up and start reading the new Avengers title because of the way Ed McGuinness drew She-Hulk. It looked like a dude, and I hated it. And so
she's always kind of looked like a dude. No, what's the best about that comic line is that Thor is dating her / Jessica Walters. And there's a whole issue where she's like, "Are you dating me or She-Hulk?" And he's like, "I love thy both."
Terrible. Yeah,
it's so funny.
I'm definitely not,
because she's never been in the movies.
That's true, but again, I just didn't. Whatever. I didn't like the way he drew She-Hulk. She looked like a dude. It looked like a dude, and I didn't like it. So I haven't been.
It's a Hulk.
I know, but traditionally, She-Hulk has looked much more feminine than the way.
She's still more feminine than the Hulk, but she's still like busting with muscles, a Hulk.
I don't know. Google John Byrne She-Hulk versus Ed McGuinness She-Hulk.
I know what classic She-Hulk looks like.
Yes. I much prefer the.
I prefer it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I haven't been. But let's talk about other negatives. Not, you know, just because we have to. I would say that there has been, you know, we know about the whole Comicsgate thing and the controversy and
I don't know what you're gonna call it. Dark shit.
Male toxicity or whatever.
Masculine toxicity.
Yeah, there you go.
Toxic masculinity.
There you go. That's what we're looking for. Now, I would argue, and again, this is completely speculation on my part. I have no evidence to back it up. I don't know that there is any evidence to back it up. Other than the fact that you know, the comics, whole Comicsgate thing is they want comics when, you know, back from when they were kids, that when the comics were better and there didn't have diversity, it didn't have, you know, people of color or women, you know, and they took characters like Captain America and Sam Wilson took over and he's black and Thor became a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at it as pandering, right? And so many of these comics gators and these toxic individuals that are bad mouthing comics, so many of them don't even read comics anymore or never did or pretend that they did. Because a lot of them, you know, you'll ask them, when's the last time? Well, they haven't read a comic. They haven't bought a comic in 10 plus years. And my argument would be that if it wasn't for the fact that comics is at the center of pop culture, it wouldn't be as much on these people's radar. The fact that there's all these movies and TV shows and everything has sort of, it's given people a false sense of ownership over this, kind of the way that the Star Wars fans have, you know, mm-hmm. like they have ownership over and they can dictate and that, you know, they're going to try to do a GoFundMe to remake a movie, which is just about the most asinine thing
so
I've ever
stupid.
Heard about. Yeah, if we can raise, you know, $2 billion, we can remake. No, Disney's never going to let you do that, you idiots. But anyway, I think there's some truth to that. I think there's the fact that it's that people pay attention to it, that more people know these characters, people feel more invested, that it has given some of these people a voice, basically, to do things like, hey, let's negative review bomb Captain Marvel. If the movie didn't exist, right? If the MCU wasn't the big juggernaut that it is, you can't tell me that anybody would have paid attention to what Brie Larson said if it wasn't for the fact that the MCU is so huge that anything any of the stars say is completely magnified due to the size of it. And to me, that's a negative. It hurts the comic industry.
Well, personally, I've actually looked into this a lot, and it's kind of the topic of my new podcast. But it's kind of toxic fandom, including the fandom that attacks Brie Larson just for saying something that wasn't even sexist, is kind of growing out of every part of toxic fandom that existed before. And the internet has given them a bigger venue to say it. It starts with Star Wars, or even before that, where it's like, oh, Rey can't be a great Jedi, she's a woman. Or Rose can't be a great character, she's a woman. And it feeds into Wonder Woman didn't suffer it for as much. But even before Brie Larson said anything, Kevin Feige said, Captain Marvel is the most powerful character in the MCU. And fans were like, no. A woman cannot be the most powerful character. That's impossible. It has to be a man. So I believe it's people grasping onto the straws, like finding any excuse who are already, I don't want to say sexist, but like, I don't want to use any insulting words towards these people, but like people who are already looking for an excuse to be like, no, Superman's the most powerful person in the DC universe because he's a man. So how can Marvel have Captain Marvel be the most powerful character as a woman?
It's right there in her name.
It's almost white males holding on to their power without getting too political. That is pretty political. But it seems a lot of it is driven from that. And it just has a bigger attention because more people pay attention to the movies than do pay attention to the comics.
Yeah, but again, back to the original question. That hurts the comic industry overall. If comics weren't at the center of pop culture, nobody would care. I'm not saying toxic fandom wouldn't still exist, but it wouldn't be focused on the comics.
Yeah, but I still feel like there's, what we said before, there's a bigger audience for the comics because these movies exist. More people are joining the fandom, not enough to keep the industry alive, but more people are joining the fandom because they're like, oh, I love the Avengers movie. Let me pick up the current Avengers book. Or, oh, Captain Marvel's trailer looks amazing. Let me pick up Captain Marvel in January.
Again, when we talk about the sales numbers, the sales aren't there. So we're measuring the negatives versus the positives.
And the sales overall, I would still argue, are dropping just because of the industry as far as...
It doesn't matter.
I'm not very few of us want to read written works on a physical page.
I'm not arguing that publishing as a whole is diminishing and decreasing. I'm not arguing that at all. That's 100% true. But we're talking about, would comics be better off? Would numbers still be would numbers still have dropped over the last 10 years if these movies didn't exist? Yes.
I think numbers would drop faster without the films.
Okay, that's entirely possible.
Because you wouldn't have as much new people. Again, few examples like me and Andrew picking up the comic because we like the films.
You know, if you and Andrew could spend about $1 billion a month on comics, we'd be fine. But that's not
the reality. We spend a lot, but not that much.
That's not the reality. But again, I totally agree with you. Numbers would have dropped, and it's possible they would have dropped even faster. But I don't.
And it'll never end. Like, they'll cut down on books, but the industry is never going to die all the way.
But I don't
think, without the movies,
I don't think that that argument, because it you can't show me any sales numbers that prove that, because again, I don't think it's statistically significant. You can't tell me that that outweighs the other negatives that we've talked about.
I don't feel like, though, it's driving enough. I think it's driving more people into it than it is driving people away. Again, I don't have the sales figures, but if, let's say we were to compare it to
I agree with you.
A newspaper or a magazine or something, I think we'd see the sales decreasing less than those, because
we're like, give you that.
Oh, I love these characters now. Let's do it.
I'm not arguing with you about that. I'm giving you that one. There are more people that read comics because of the movies than don't. But that's not the only – that's the only positive thing. And when you weigh the negatives, I think the negatives outweigh the small number. Let's call it 1%. Let's say it is statistically significant. Let's say it's 1%. There's a 1% increase. There's been a 1% increase in comic readers because of the movies. No numbers, no polls, no sales numbers show that.
Mm-hmm.
None of them do, but let's just speculate. Let's say that yes, there have. Let's say that because again, the only numbers we have are print numbers. Let's say that because of comic movies, there is a 1% overall gain in readership, but the gain is mostly on the side of digital. So we have no way to measure it.
Which I think so. Yes. Okay.
So let me. I'll give you that. I still argue that the greater sense of what's the word I'm looking for, like oversight,
mm-hmm.
because of the amount of money being made by these movies, the greater amount of oversight by these corporations, and the way they're dictating to their creative people what they can do and what they can't do, even to the point of pulling some titles, censoring other titles. I would say that, plus the greater amount of toxic fandom that is involved in comics and has opinions about comics because here's the thing, right? Yes, that in terms of comic readers, we need more and there's not enough. But when you just ask people, are you a fan of the characters? There's absolutely no doubt whatsoever that that number has exploded exponentially. The amount of Captain America fans, the amount of Avengers fans, Ant-Man fans, Hulk fans, Spider-Man fans, the amount of fans of these characters has exploded over the last 10 years, and I 100% credit that to the movies. But we're talking about effect to the comic industry overall. And I would say, because of that explosion, not only have you brought in fans that are great and add to the sense of community, you've also, just like fans of anything else, you bring in the bad with the good. There's going to be bad apples. So the amount of toxic fandom that you've brought in to the comic book fandom community because of these movies, that coupled with the greater oversight, those two negatives for me outweigh any sort of net gain you've had in readership. I think the comic industry is worse off because of these negative, because again, it's not the greatest number of people. It's by far the minority of people who are toxic fans of these characters, but they're so vocal.
Agreed.
They're the ones that are screaming, and they're the ones that get attention, and people pay attention to them, and they are the subject of articles and podcasts and whatever. You know, like you said, your upcoming topic on your new podcast at LRM, talking about all the negative reviews that were given to Captain Marvel before it even came out, before people could even see it. It had more more reviews than Avengers Infinity War got in a year. In the first week, it had 54,000
reviews. The first day,
it had 54,000 reviews. Avengers Infinity War had been out for over a year, and it only had 53,000. So clearly, there's something going on. And my
bots is part of it.
Yes. My argument is that these kind of negatives, pandering, changing stories, changing characters, changing costumes, changing the names of things, changing the origins of things, the greater oversight, which stifles creativity, and the amount of toxic fandom you've added into the comic industry because of the greater number of fans of the characters, not people who are reading comics, I would say those negatives outweigh any positives that we've had. And I just think that we'd be better off. It makes me sad because especially 12, 13-year-old me always dreamed of seeing these characters on the big screen and so happy. But just look at me. I'm the biggest comic fan I know. I'm a giant comic fan.
You're the biggest comic fan I know.
I put out 10 episodes a week on my podcast because I love comics so much, and I don't even go and see all the movies.
You've barely seen any of the movies.
Yeah. And do you know why?
It's not to your fault.
Yeah, it's because they leave a bad taste in my mouth, honestly. Like, I was really excited to go see Captain Marvel, and it was okay. You know, it was a better than average movie, but it wasn't. Maybe it's my own fault. I had high expectations, and yeah, it was meh. It was okay.
Most people agree with you. Even who like it, most people agree that it was like a MCU movie.
Yeah.
I won't fault you for that.
For me, one of the biggest things, so I'm a huge Captain Marvel fan, and not the female. I have no problem with Carol Danvers. I have no problem with Captain Marvel being a female now. But I was a huge fan of the original Captain Marvel, Mar-Vell, as he was known.
Mar-Vell.
And so that was part of the thing in the movie that I didn't like. I didn't like that they – it wasn't that they did the whole gender bend thing and had Annette Bening. I didn't like that they turned him into a scientist because he was an amazing Kree warrior, and I didn't like that they flipped that.
Well, that's why I like the films, and even Marvel said this. They're like a different multiverse than 616. The MCU is different than 616, then is different than Ultimate Universe. Like, they're all different versions of the same characters told throughout different stories.
Yeah, but I could have got one of my favorite Marvel characters on the big screen, the male Mar-Vell, the male Kree warrior that went through metamorphosis and...
But that would have been too hard to tell in 2 hours, and it wouldn't have been a twist.
I agree with you. So, have a Kree scientist, have the Annette Bening character, just don't call her Mar-Vell. Just give her a different name.
I don't know. I love when Marvel goes classic, like Red Skull and stuff. I also love when it goes twisty.
See, you
like, obviously, Infinity War is pretty classic. You're not getting a lot of twists there. But, like, I love when Captain Marvel or what's another good one? There are a few that really subvert expectations, and you're like, ah, being a comic fan has paid off because I expected one thing and you gave me something else rather than you give me what I expected.
Yeah, they haven't once given me what I expected. They always change so much stuff. And again, it's because it's a different medium and you only have
less characters
and you have a finite number of minutes.
You have 2 hours instead of like 14 issues.
Yeah. And so, yeah, even, I mean, the fact that they changed Thanos into an eco-terrorist because they didn't have time to flesh out his backstory. You cannot tell me that after reading.
That was more of an update rather than like not having time. They could have made Hela death.
You can't tell me that after reading Jason Aaron's Thanos Rising, that would not have been a better origin.
Yeah, but they didn't have time for that because they cut 30 minutes of Thanos out of Infinity War.
It just doesn't make any sense, Nick. Like, you know it doesn't make any sense. Why not snap your fingers and...
The only reason it doesn't make any sense is he could snap and double the number of resources in the galaxy.
It's so...
But that's like looking at a Star Wars movie or something and being like, that doesn't make any sense. It's like, it's sci-fi. He's a psychopath, not a...
Except Star Wars is not based on anything. It's not mining from another medium where great stories already existed.
It's not, but again, like Marvel's, the movies are giving it a twist where it's like, yeah, you should have used Hela as Death because she was in Thor Ragnarok. But isn't it more interesting if Thanos is concerned about Titan died?
But Hela is not Death.
Well, she could have become Death within the MCU adapting everything.
No, that's just changing
something. The goddess of death, why not make her death?
That's just changing something for the sake of changing her. They do enough of that. That's just changing something for the sake of changing it. And as far as
they're always trying to simplify it, because again, you don't have 7 to 14 issues, you have 2 hours.
See, you would have a greater appreciation for who Captain Marvel was if you would have kept doing the Marvel chronology with me.
I'm sure.
You were almost there to the Metamorphosis issue, which is like one of the most famous Captain Marvel issues ever.
I know his history. It's just like,
no, you don't.
I went to screenwriting school. You don't. An adaptation is not the same thing. It's something not necessarily simplified, but changed. Like Lord of the Rings, or even The Hobbit. They wrote out characters like Tom Bombadil, even the extended cuts, because it's like, it doesn't make sense to have time for this character. Or in some scripts, you'll take a novel and combine two characters.
Yes,
it's adaptation, not 100% translation.
I 100% agree with you, and it's why I would be much happier if comics had not exploded all over multimedia. I would have been, you know, as much as you say, think. You know, it's like, be careful what you wish for. 12-year-old me, yeah, I'd love to see these characters have their own TV shows, movies, whatever, if they could stay true to the characters. But again, I think the negatives have outweighed the positives. And yeah, I think we'd, as an industry, I think the comic industry might be better off without. And you look at things like, we didn't even touch on the fact that you can no longer get a badge to go to San Diego Comic-Con because of the rise and all this.
You can't.
I mean, it's become extremely hard. You used to be able to, before.
Denver's fine, but it's no longer Comic-Con. It's Pop Culture Con.
Before 2009, before Iron Man, you
could. Well, yeah, it's all the movie stuff, right? Even Kevin Smith has a panel, and Star Wars has a panel, and.
Yeah, so let's rewind to 2008. Even 2009, you might still have been able to do this. On Saturday, the busiest day, you could walk up to the convention and buy a badge on site and walk into the show. Now it sells out in less than an hour.
Which is why I loved going to Denver Comic Con with you. I didn't visit a single movie or TV celebrity. We only talked comic book writers and artists, and it was way better than attending any of the panels with Ron Perlman or David Harbour or whatever.
Yeah, but when
I got to meet all my favorites, I got to meet because of you, and it was great.
Yeah, but if you go to San Diego Comic-Con or New York Comic-Con, there is all the movie and TV stuff there, but there are also more comic creators there than you can meet anywhere else. I mean, everybody's there just about, especially at New York.
Is it easy, as long as you have a pass, is it easy to get to the creators you like?
In New York, yeah, it's really easy. San Diego, sometimes you...
Can you meet Tom King at San Diego?
Well, Tom's gotten to be pretty big, so you have to enter a drawing, but...
Because we met him pretty easy at Denver.
Yeah, and there's other time, if you're willing to stand in line, because again, there's people that, this is the only chance they get to see him.
So yeah.
Because he's part of Essential Sequential, and they have signings there. You just have to be willing to stand in line, but yeah, you can meet him. Or if you hang out with me, then, you know, you can hang out with them at the...
Front row pass if I hang out with you. I know that.
Well, see, that's the other... you go to San Diego, then it's... we hit up the bars after the on the nights of the shows, and then you can hang out with the creators that way.
Oh. Jammers told me he's had a great time with you at San Diego Comic-Con. Don't worry.
Who said that?
Joseph. Oh. Joseph. We nickname him Jammer on the website. But he said he enjoys going to Comic-Con with you.
Yeah, it's a big party for sure. Now that I say that, I think, man, I need to start drinking. I haven't been drinking at all lately. I need to start getting my liver in shape. Otherwise, I'll get to Comic-Con.
You got to build up for San Diego, right?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I have WonderCon coming up here at the end of the month, so there'll be some drinking at the bar. So, all right. I don't think we solved anything.
No, we'll always disagree about this, I think.
Agree to disagree. You think?
Agree.
You think that comics, the comic industry is better off. I just don't see. I don't know. Maybe so. Maybe so. It's a question that's been on my mind a lot lately. I'm glad we talked about it. I'm going to start asking creators. And I don't think there's – this is probably one of those questions where there's so many factors and there's so many intangibles. There probably isn't a definitive answer one way or the other. What we really do need is one of those alternate realities you're talking about. We need the ultimate universe where we can go and look where comics didn't become the
Elseworld
pop culture. Or an Elseworld, yeah. So no Walking Dead TV show. Robert Kirkman
is... Agreed. I'll do away with that.
there's no... I mean, again, I'm not saying no movies at all, because before this blew up, we still had comic movies. We still had the Batman movies.
Spider-Man was my first in 2002.
Yeah, we still had an X-Men movie. We still obviously had the Christopher Reeve Superman movies. So it's not like...
Batman 89.
Yeah, we had Batman 89. Even the Christopher Nolan stuff. When did
2006 is when Batman Begins came out.
Yeah, but when did the last one come out? The last one came out after things had exploded, because I really...
It was 2011, 2010, the night of the shooting.
So that was really after. Because don't people really consider Iron Man like obviously the start of the MCU? And isn't that when things really took off in terms of...
I consider Spider-Man 2002 where things really took off, because I feel like Iron Man copies a lot of Spider-Man.
Yeah, but there wasn't...
Spider-Man's where I jumped on.
Okay, so Spider-Man came out in 2001, and then we had Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man
2. Because the trailer had the Twin Towers in it. The movie did not have the Twin Towers in it.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, what other comic book movies did we have come out after Spider-Man 2?
We had the trilogy, we had the X-Men films, we had a failed attempt at Daredevil, the Blade sequels, Elektra, and then Batman began in 2006. Batman Begins in 2006, 2 years before Iron Man, and Iron Man really catapulted it into the next level.
Yeah, and so that's why I look at Iron Man, is that's when people started, like... It made so much money, because before, like you said, you're naming a lot of these movies and they weren't box office blockbusters that made tons of money.
Well, at the time, Spider-Man 2002 was the highest grossing opening weekend of all time. And then Spider-Man 3 became the highest opening weekend gross of all time in 2007.
But you kind of look at it as, okay, so here's a character. You can make the argument that characters like Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, they're all
pre-sold,
ready icons. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so you can make movies about those characters, and the average person isn't thinking, oh yeah, that's a comic book character. It's just Batman. It's just Spider-Man. It's just Superman. And so I think it was when Iron Man, who wasn't as well known, hit the big screen. And then people were like, oh wait, comics, blah, blah, blah. And then studio executives started buying up stuff left and right. So I still go back to Iron Man really as the start of when...
I agree.
What I consider... the negative stuff started creeping in, because that's when the average moviegoer who fell in love with these characters that fell in love with the MCU started feeling that they had some ownership over it, started feeling like, he's showing me a Captain America right now. I just feel like
I have a Red Skull too.
that's when sort of the negative aspects of it started creeping in. I feel like, because again, what's the number one thing that I look at as the reason for all of this? It's the fact that corporations got involved in creative decisions because there was so much money to be made. So to me, that's where the negative aspect of it all started to kick off. So anyway.
Fair enough. Again, agree to disagree, but I think we have a great discussion about it.
Yeah, so. Definitely. So. I think that's going to do it for this special episode of The Comic Source. Again, apologies for everybody that was hoping for Aftershock Monday today. but instead of covering an Aftershock comic, Nick and I were having this conversation via text message, and we decided that we'd bring it online so you guys could all share in it. So be sure and reach out on social media. I am LRM underscore Jace. He is LRM underscore Nick. And let us know what your thoughts are. Positive, negative, comic movies for the comic industry overall.
May I plug my new podcast?
No, you may not.
Okay.
No, go ahead, of course.
It's Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, coming out every Monday. And it's me and Jonesy, Brandon Jones. And we'll be mostly reviewing movies, but also discussing the controversies surrounding, like, let's say, Captain Marvel or actors that have had a downfall that week in a way that LRM really hasn't tackled it before.
So not just comic movies, although isn't that the only thing that comes out these days?
Well, I mean, we're going to do like Detective Pikachu and Us and stuff. But yeah, mostly Shazam and Avengers Endgame and
Detective Pikachu?
Spider-Man. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, Detective Pikachu.
What's Detective Pikachu?
Have you not seen a trailer for it yet? It's Ryan Reynolds voicing a Pikachu in a live-action movie.
Like the Pokemon Pikachu?
Yes, like Deadpool voicing a Pokemon. Yes.
Why would that exist?
Because it appeals to millennials like my heart. I didn't think I'd ever want to watch it, but hearing Deadpool's voice come out of a Pokemon is like, oh, that's adorable and weird.
Man, just they'll make a movie about anything these days.
They will, and we'll all watch it.
I will not. I will not be watching it. I saw
you won't. Me and all my millennial friends will.
I've actually been watching a lot more movies lately. I saw Captain Marvel.
Excellent.
I saw what was the one with The Upside? Is that was Kevin Hart?
Oh, was that good? I didn't see it. Yeah, it was okay. Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston.
It was okay. It was entertaining.
I saw Glass.
I did not see Glass. I haven't seen, what is it, Switch? Is that what's the one with James McAvoy?
You mean the sequel to Split?
Split, that's the one I'm thinking about. No,
the sequel to Split is Glass, which is a sequel to Untouchables. Right. I mean, Unbreakable.
Yeah, so I never saw
Split. Which is an original comic book movie.
Right, so I can't go, I feel like I can't go see Glass until I see Split, so that's why I haven't seen Split.
Agreed.
No, I also saw Cold Pursuit with Liam Neeson.
Oh, I loved Cold Pursuit.
It was different.
It's so dark and gloriously humorous.
What I loved most about Cold Pursuit was standing outside the theater after it was over. I was waiting for Jaden to use the restroom. And the people next to me were talking about it. And they did not get it at all. Like, they just were lost.
That was most people in the theater were like silent during hilarious scenes that were so dark. And I was like, I was laughing up a storm and people were like, oh, that's so dark. And I'm like, no, it's hilarious. Like a Coen Brothers film.
Yeah. They couldn't,
that movie was so funny.
They couldn't figure out why, Laura Dern's character left a blank card. Like they were going on and on. Like she left him and she left this card. It didn't say anything. And they just couldn't get it. They were like, it was so, I almost wanted to turn to him and be like, okay, let me explain this to you. There's nothing left to say. That was the whole point. There's nothing to write because there's nothing to say. Like, why stay? So, yeah.
And the credits in order of disappearance.
Yeah. That was awesome. So, yeah, I saw
great that. Great film.
Saw that. I saw, what else have I seen recently? I saw Into the Spider-Verse.
Excellent.
Which I enjoyed. It was, I didn't have expectations one way or the other. It just that so many people were hyping it up that I enjoyed it. I'd probably give it like a 7 out of 10, but probably not as much as some other people.
It was shockingly good because it was Sony and not Marvel. And Sony has a very bad reputation. Venom. So
yeah, exactly. What else have I seen? I went and saw the most recent A Star is Born.
See that one.
We were supposed to go see First Man. And I accidentally
First Man's good.
I accidentally drove to the wrong theater, and First Man wasn't playing there for like another.
My dad screwed up the showtime for that too. Rent it; it'll be out soon. It's good. It won special effects over Thanos, so whatever.
And I guess that's all. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I've seen recently, but that's a lot of movies for me in the last.
That is a lot for you.
Little bit, yeah. I've been trying to go a little more. There's not really anything coming up that I'm looking forward to now, though. Captain Marvel.
Well, because of my podcast, I'm watching Us by Jordan Peele. I'm watching Shazam, which I normally wouldn't have seen.
Oh, Shazam, yeah, I'll see that.
And then, of course, I'm watching Avengers Endgame, which you won't be caught up with, so you probably can't watch.
Yeah, remember last summer when we were talking about me watching all the Marvel movies so I could go see
Endgame? Have you watched any since then? I haven't
watched a single one. Well, I've watched
Captain except Marvel. For Captain Marvel.
I've watched Captain Marvel, yeah. I will say this. Seeing the mid-credits scene,
mm-hmm.
Captain Marvel, made me like, man, I wish I was caught up. I do kind of wish I was caught up. Like, I think that for me, the characters that really work in the MCU, I think, minus the beard, I don't like the beard on Chris Evans, but I think
he drops the beard for Endgame.
I think he works. I think Scarlett Johansson, for the most part, works. I still prefer Edward Norton to Mark Ruffalo.
Blasphemy.
As Bruce, but I don't know. I just like Ed Norton as an actor.
I like him too, but
it's not that
Mark Ruffalo brings a soft spot to Banner that he should have versus the angry Hulk.
Nah, see, I don't think Banner should have a soft spot. He's very analytical. He's very
well. That's his line from the Avengers, which you said you have seen, where he's like, "That's my secret, Captain. I'm always angry."
Yeah, I've seen part of it. I started to watch it. I'd seen like the first 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, but if that scene doesn't tease you the rest of the franchise, then God forgive you. Because that scene, and Captain Marvel is like, oh my God, she's meeting all of our favorite heroes. Where's Goose?
Yeah, everybody was talking about Goose too, and I was just like, I could have done without that. That was pretty cornball.
He's a Flurgan or whatever,
yeah,
like in the comics.
Yeah, but again, I did see an article that somebody was – they're saying that the Captain Marvel movie completely emasculates Nick Fury. They didn't like it. It said it reduced him to a bumbling goofball.
I disagree, but I've read the article as well. So yeah.
So the other thing I would say, like, and don't get me wrong, I love Samuel L. Jackson. But that's just another instance where there's something that they did in the comics that – or in the movies that then they flipped over into the comics because – Nick Fury was a great character, white guy, World War II veteran, eye patch, cigar, and it was the ultimate universe where Brian Hitch took inspiration and made Nick Fury.
He drew him after Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, he said, "I'm gonna Nick Fury's
in the Ultimates."
Yeah, it's Samuel L. Jackson in the Ultimates, and then you know he showed up in Iron Man, and I even thought that was cool. Look, Samuel Jackson, it's the Ultimates version of Nick Fury. And I was fine with that, and I'm fine with Samuel Jackson being Nick Fury in all the movies. But what I didn't like is then they retconned him into the regular Marvel universe.
Agreed. He was normal Nick Fury's son who was somehow black.
Yeah.
Before Secret Wars 3 or whatever happened where they actually combined the universes.
Original Sin was the event where
that happened. Have you read Ultimates?
Yes.
Volume 1?
I've read Ultimates Volume 1, yeah.
There's a conversation where there's like, who would play you in the movies? Yeah. And it's all of them.
Yeah.
And the only one that's – and Sam Jackson Nick Fury's like, Samuel L. Jackson would play me in films.
So, just because – and it's not that I have anything against Samuel Jackson or that character, but it's just – I mean, Nick Fury was just – I just love Nick Fury. He was so great.
It's better than David Hasselhoff. We'll just say that.
Yes, 100%. Now, he would have to be played by – man, who would play a great original
Stephen Lang?
Fury.
Who would have been a good he would have been a good Cable.
Yeah, who did they get to play? It was
Josh Brolin was a good Caleb Abel. He'd also be a good Nick Fury.
Yeah, he might be an okay Nick Fury.
Mel Gibson.
No.
Without the controversy, Mel Gibson looking like Mel Gibson would be good Nick Fury.
I couldn't. Just because he's so – like when I see like classic Mel Gibson, like forget the controversy, whatever, he's still that kind of wisecracking Martin Riggs to me. So it doesn't –
but I still feel like Nick Fury was a wisecracking badass spy, you know? Like, you read a classic issue of White Nick Fury, and it's like, yeah, he's wisecracking, but he's also the most badass spy in the world.
You know who would have made a great Nick Fury, like, we'll say 15 or 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah.
It would have to be, like you said, 15 or 20 years ago, but yes.
Yeah, he would have been a great, great Nick Fury. All right. Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode. We could keep going all night about movie stuff that, again,
for sure.
I'm betraying all my listeners by talking movies.
And humoring me.
Yes, and humoring Nick. So, again, reach out to us on social media. Let us know your thoughts on comic books at the center of pop culture, at the center of Hollywood, and on your small screen as well. Positive or negative, let us know. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. The Comic Source is a member of the LRM Podcast Network, so when you visit the site, be sure to check out some of our other podcasts like Los Fanboys, our official movie and TV podcast, hosted by Joseph Jammer Medina, Netflix and Chill, hosted by Nick and Carrie, covering a wide variety of film and television topics with Game of Thrones and Star Wars as particular favorites, and finally, Mike and Mark's Marvelous Adventures, as these two former athletes share their love of sports and geek culture by chatting about anything and everything sports and geek related. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.